Hello everyone, my name's Rob and I'm the next.
Hi Rob.
I've got to say, it's proper on me, I don't want to be sat here. I've got that fight or flight stuff going on here big time. You know, but the truth of the matter is, you know, the only thing I've got to fight is fear. You know, and flight, where do I go? You know, there's nowhere left to run, you know. And although I'm scared to be sat here and talking, because I am a Londoner, I was born just over the bridge there, but I don't live up here no more, so a lot of people here are unfamiliar to me, so I feel out of my depth, you know. When I know the surroundings, I feel more comfortable. So it's on me. You know, I'm an addict, and I truly know that. You know, something inside just rings it to me. That's my experience of me. I don't know where to begin. I don't know where it's going to go, but I'll just give it to you and see what happens. You know, I come from an Irish background. Grew up on council's estates in South London. Parents alcoholic, you know, all that palaver, you know. I was fearful as a kid, but I never knew it. You know, I could mask my fear with anger. You know, with anger, it was a safety, it was a wall to keep people at bay, you know. And the more I had of it, the more I felt safe. You know, lots of stuff went on in my life, you know what I mean? A lot of heartache, a lot of this, that and the other, bereavement. See a lot of things that was unnecessary. You know, but as we do, you know, it's a lot of life going on out there. It still is. Schooling was a no-no. I couldn't sit still. Teachers used to have to sit on me until I burnt myself out. You know, no school would have me in the depth. And I was left lingering around the estates, you know. Stairwells, getting up and all, no good. Tormenting people and all that. I found drugs, and it was an outlet, you know. I don't know what it fixed, but it fixed something. Maybe it took away the fear, more than likely, yeah. You know, but I could kind of plod along with it, you know. I've heard it said in the rooms that when you find your drug of choice, you know, it becomes a great servant for you. And then it becomes a horrible master. And that was my case of it, you know. In the early days, you know, I started having consequences from day one, really. You know, I went through all the puff and this, that and the other, tip X, blue, drink. And but I remember it was at partying, so I knew these fellas were having a bit of gear in the carsy. And I knew it was no vow. You know, I was banging on that door, I wanted it. You know, they told me to do one, because I knew what it was about, fair play to them. But, you know, I still sought it out. And at the age of 16, 17, I was banging up. You know, what can I say? Going back to the womb stuff, all that, you know, it was giving me comfort and ease from me. But in that, you know, because I become selfish in that. Because at the end of the day, what it amounted to was maintaining that. You know, I've got a good heart, I've got a good family, people who love me, you know, but at the end of the day, I started to neglect all that because I had to prioritise, and it was drugs. You know, my idea of hell was living with me, straight, you know. It became a nightmare, you know. It was a long, hard journey, you know. I've heard it said, and I believe this to be true for me, that I needed every single drink and drug I ever took. I needed every single hard knock, jail sentence, relationship breakup, kicking, hiding, whatever the case may be, because, you know, it's all step one stuff. And every little bit of that was the dripping, you know, slowly, it gave me a step one. You know, It's funny being back on around here. You know, I used to parole these streets, and I'd not seeking out anything. You know, I'd graft anything. I'd rub your eyes and come back for your eyebrows. You know, I would. In my life. You know, and the truth of the matter is, right, I used to wear a mask of that. I didn't fucking care. And the truth of the matter is that I did care. You know, it hurt me to do this stuff. But, you know, like I say, it become about priorities. In the end, you know, I took many hard knocks, and I lost a lot of dear friends, you know, and they really went deep with me, you know, and I still hold them deep, you know. Because I'm a sensitive fella, you know. Even as a kid, I was sensitive. I was sensitive to life. And all that stuff I took in, it was fucking hard. And I couldn't cope with it, you know. And, so I found sanctuary in drugs. And then, like I say, the drugs became the terrible master. And it robbed me of everything, you know. I like to think that I was a stand-up fella, you know, which I was to a degree, or I wanted to be. But in the death, I had nothing left for anyone, not even myself, you know. You know, I couldn't be anywhere on time. You know, I'd be looking out of a prison van again on the way to jail, looking out the window, thinking, why can't I just be like them? You know, why can't I just fucking be like them, man? You're not a silly fella. Screw your loaf. I'd go through the sentence, do this, that, the other, and I'd get out, and then I'd be on that bus again. You know, for me, it was like a soul sickness. I had all the hard knocks, the hidings, the mental stress, the physical. I looked like I'd been dug up in the death, you know. I looked like I'd been dead 6 months. Someone dug me up, and so I was walking about. And that's the truth, and I'm at. I don't think it's mentioned enough, you know, the physical state we get in, or I got in, you know, because I was mullered. But, you know, all that aside, what really hurt was the internal stuff, man, that soul sickness. You know, if recovery gives me one thing in life, it's that I haven't died in that state. You know, because to have done that would have been, God alone knows, you know. Today, on a happier note, you know, my life is pretty much terrific. You know, I started finding this message in prison, and I've done it for a bit of parole, truth be told. And, you know, I started listening to fellas just like me, and they got vulnerable, and that kind of spoke the language of the art for me, you know what I mean? And I thought, hold on a minute. You know, because we're supposed to wear masks, and I was good at that. So I thought, you know, anyway, I started having little revelations, you know. Step one stuff, my powerlessness, my harms to others, consequences. You know, and the good stuff, God was my number one offender. You know, I got hold of him in a physical form and killed him. That's the truth, I mean that, sincerely. You know, however, you know, it was because I was angry, and I know what's underneath anger, you know, a lot of hurt and pain. Anyway, I started going through this work, and like I say, light started coming on. You know, I went on to a secondary treatment centre down by the seaside, and I started turning it around, trusting in something, and something started happening with me, you know, I started to accept who I was and why I was. You know, I didn't keep nailing myself to that cross because of what I've become. You know, give me acceptance, you know. Since then, I've gone on to do a lot of stuff, you know, and I still feel like I'm an infant in it, really. You know, emotionally, I'm still very sensitive, you know. I help others as best I can, you know. When I got clean, I thought, what am I going to do myself? I've got nothing going on with me. I've got no schooling, nothing. But what I have got is my experience, you know, and you can't learn this stuff in a book. You know, it's all them. And that's what I give away. You know, and up until now, please God, it's held me in good stead. You know, I have friends I love, you know, I do, you know. I was with a mucker today and we have a giggle, you know. Good stuff and not so well stuff, you know, but that's what life is about. You know, it's funny because you can laugh at it, you know. But, you know, I'm a lucky man and I'm a happy customer. I hope you got something out of that. Yeah.